Ravanachari Yamuna Tiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parijakacharya Astato Sri Srimat Bhakti Danda Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parijakacharya Astato Sri Srimat Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Gaur Premanandi Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 19, Text 31 Maitreya Uvacha Evam Hiranyaksham Asya Vikramam Sa Sadyatva Harir Adi Shukra Jagama Lokam Sam Akhanditotsavam Samedita Pushkara Vishtara Adi Bhi Evam Hiranyaksham Asya Vikramam Sa Sadyatva Harir Adi Shukra Jagama Lokam Swam Akhanditotsavam
samidita pushkara vistaradibhi evam hiranyaksham asaya vikramam sa sa sadhyatva harir adi shukra jagam lokam swamakhanditotsavam samidita pushkara vistaradibhi. Vaishnavis, Maitreya Uvacha. Sri Maitreya said, evam, thus, Hiranyaksham, Hiranyaksha, Asahai Vikramam, very powerful, Sa, the Lord, Sadayitva, after killing, Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Adi Shukraha, the origin of the boar species, Jagama, returned, Lokam, to his abode, Swam, own, Akhandita, uninterrupted, Utsavam, festival, Samidita, being praised, Pushkara Vistara, lotus seed, by Lord Brahma, whose seed is a lotus. Adibhi, and the others. Translation. Sri Maitreya continued, after thus killing the most formidable demon Hiranyaksha, the Supreme Lord Hari, the origin of the boar species, returned to his own abode, where there is always an uninterrupted festival.
The Lord was praised by all the demigods headed by Brahma.
Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
The Lord is spoken of herewith as the origin of the boar species. As stated in the Vedanta Sutra 1.1.2, the Absolute Truth is the origin of everything. Therefore, it is to be understood that all 8,400,000 species of bodily forms originate from the Lord, who is always Adi, or the beginning. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna addresses the Lord as Adyam, or the original. Similarly, in the Brahma Samhita, the Lord is addressed as Adi Purusham, the original person. Indeed, in Bhagavad Gita 10.8, the Lord Himself declares, Mata Sarvam Parvartate, from me everything proceeds. In this situation, the Lord assumed the shape of a boar to kill the demon Hiranyaksha and pick up the earth from the Garbha ocean. Thus, He became Adi Shukra, the original boar. In the material world, a boar or pig is considered most abominable. But the Adi Shukra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was not treated as an ordinary boar. Even Lord Brahma and other demigods praised the Lord's form as a boar. This verse confirms the statement in Bhagavad Gita that the Lord appears as He is from His transcendental abode for the sake of killing the miscreants and saving the devotees. By killing the demon Hiranyaksha, He fulfilled His promise to kill the demons and always protect the demigods headed by Brahma. The statement that the Lord returned to His own abode indicates that He has His own particular transcendental residence. Since He is full of all energies, He is all-pervasive in spite of His residing in Goloka Vrindavan. Just as the sun, although situated in a particular place within the universe, is present by its sunshine throughout the universe. Although the Lord has His particular abode in which to reside, He is all-pervasive. The impersonalists accept one aspect of the Lord's features, the all-pervasive aspect, but they cannot understand His localized situation in His transcendental abode, where He always engages in fully transcendental pastimes. Especially mentioned in this verse is the word akhanditotsavam. Utsava means pleasure. Whenever some function takes place to express happiness, it is called utsava. Utsava, the expression of complete happiness, is always present in the Vaikuntha Lokas, the abode of the Lord, who is worshipable even by demigods like Brahma, to say nothing of other less important entities such as human beings. The Lord descends from His abode to this world, and therefore He is called Avatar, which means one who descends. Sometimes Avatar is understood to refer to an incarnation who assumes a material form of flesh and bone. But actually, Avatar refers to one who descends from higher regions. The Lord's abode is situated far above this material sky, and He descends from the higher position. Thus, He is called Avatar. Translation again. Sri Maitreya continued, after thus killing the most formidable demon Hiranyaksha, the Supreme Lord Hari, the origin of the boar species, returned to His own abode, where there is always an uninterrupted festival. The Lord was praised by all the demigods headed by Brahma. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurul Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the origin of everything. As it is said in Brahma Samhita, Adi Purusham, He is the origin of all the species. The very first verse in Srimad Bhagavatam as the prelude to the Bhagavatam says, Janmadyasya yataha anyavat itaratascha, that the Absolute Truth is primeval and the cause of all causes of all the manifested universe. And Krishna Himself declares, Aham sarvasya prabhavo, I am the source of all
spiritual and material worlds. Mata sarvam pravartate. Everything emanates from me. Everything means everything. And so we are here seeing that all the species that we see in the material world are also coming from that original person, the Adi Purusha. Lord Hari is the origin of boar species, Adi Shukra. And what is he doing when he descends in any of his forms, any of his transcendental forms? He's always engaged in transcendental pastimes. Another name for Krishna is Rasaraj, the king of all transcendental humors. That is the main occupation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to engage in loving transcendental pastimes with his devotees. He's always immersed in pleasure activities. As it is also said in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, Swayam Bhagwan Krishna Ekale Ishvara Advitya Nandatmaja Rasika Shekhara. He's Rasika Shekhar. He's the enjoyer of all mellows. And another place in Madhya Leela, it is said, Swayam Bhagwan Krishna Sarvamsi Sarvashraya Vishuddha Nirmala Prema Sarva Rasamaya. The Swayam Bhagwan Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the reservoir of all energies, Sarva Amsi, Sarva Ashraya. He is Vishuddha, he is transcendental. He is Nirmala, free from any material contamination. Sarva Rasa Maya. And what is he doing? He is engaged in loving transcendental pastimes. He is the reservoir of all pleasure. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whether he is present in his abode in the spiritual world, in the Vaikuntha Lokas or Goloka Vrindavan, or if he is present in the material world, he is always engaged in loving transcendental pastimes with his devotees. So we see here how Krishna enjoyed the fighting with his devotee in the form of a demon, Hiranyaksha. And after he terminated that demon, after enjoying that exchange, Krishna went back to his abode to again engage in uninterrupted loving pastimes with his devotees. So Krishna always maintains his position of being the supreme enjoyer, whether he comes in a form of a boar or whether he comes in a form of a fish or a tortoise. We usually have this material conception that only humans have the prerogative to enjoy and to be happy. The animals, they don't have that right. Some foolish people also proclaim that animals don't have any soul. It's all speculative theories. But on the absolute platform, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends in any of the forms, in any of the species, of course we hear in Bhagavatam of different species, of different incarnations of the Supreme, the boar form, the tortoise, the fish. But in other universes, Krishna can appear and is appearing in all other different species of life that we might not read in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Krishna doesn't have to work for his pleasure, for his enjoyment. On the flip side, on the material existence, in our experiences, we have to endeavor, we have to work for our happiness, we have to work for our enjoyment. It doesn't come easy. You have to put in the effort. And remember, according to the Bhagavad Gita, work doesn't mean just our occupational duty, our profession. Work, according to Bhagavad Gita, means any endeavor that we do for acquiring the sense objects. Any endeavor of the senses to come in contact with sense objects is work. So, even our planning and contemplating how we can enjoy, how we can acquire, how we can have pleasure is work. Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsa. It all begins with contemplating on the objects of senses. How we can be happy in this way, how we can be happy in that way, in this relationship, with this career or this passion or different travel opportunities. Those things will make us happy. So it all begins with our contemplating. We think, we meditate how endeavoring, engaging in those activities will give me happiness. So it all starts with meditating, and it is work, because you have to plan, you have to strategize and see how your happiness can come to you. It doesn't come on its own. I remember as a kid, I used to travel a lot because my father loved traveling. So we would go to South India, North, West, Himalayas, everywhere. And I would see him, before every trip, he's engaged in deep meditation, planning where to stay, which all sites to see. He doesn't want to miss any of the sites, the places that we are going. It's lots of anxiety even in our endeavors for getting some happiness in this material world. Now one could say that, what is the problem if we have to work for our happiness? At least I'm getting some kind of happiness. At least I'm getting something better than being hopeless. True. And that's why a lot of happiness studies and researchers say that don't just have one source of happiness in your life. Have multiple pools of activities that can give you happiness. And split those activities throughout the day so you can feel happy from doing one activity and jumping on to another activity, doing another activity, and so on and so forth. And that in that way, you will be happy. You'll be peaceful. But one thing that the researchers or the scientists miss to observe is that the quality of that happiness that we are engaging in is very insubstantial and temporary. So although we are trying to juggle all these different things, whether it be relationships, career opportunities, traveling, this, that, the other, we're trying to juggle all these balls, but eventually everything falls apart. It all comes down. So then there is no real happiness even in juggling different opportunities. And one thing that was interesting when I first read about this was that so-called happiness that materialists feel is not really happiness. It's just the absence of distress. So what you call the so-called happiness is not the true happiness that can fulfill you, that can make you peaceful and satisfied. Just when we see some absence of distress, we just label it as happiness. Prabhupada would often give the example of sweet rice mixed with sand. Imagine that you made sweet rice for over a couple of days, just slowly churning it and really making it thick and nice with milk and ghee and sugar. And then as you start to taste the sweet rice, you feel some sweetness, but then crunch, crunch, crunch. You start to taste the sand. And as you are drinking the sweet rice, you think that, okay, maybe the sand will go away eventually. I'll just go through it and eventually I'll get through the nectar part. But no, it is mixed. There's flip side to the coin of material happiness. The flip side is that there's always distress. So even though we might feel some temporary, meager happiness in our endeavors for material enjoyment, it is always filled with distress and suffering. Just like a businessman wouldn't want to invest in stocks, in market, shares, which are sure to fail. Similarly, an intelligent person should think, why should I invest in my sources of happiness, which are sure to end, which will surely give me some kind of distress, some kind of misery? Why can't we find happiness that is everlasting, that is never ending? Because that is our prerogative, that is our birthright claim as a spiritual being, as part and parcel of Krishna. So when the individual living entity comes to that point of inquiry, Brahma Jagyasa, that's when the real human form of life begins. Now, on the absolute plane, however, Krishna doesn't have to work for his enjoyment, for his pastimes. Krishna has different energies, different potencies that arrange everything for his pleasure, for his pastimes, for his enjoyment. As my spiritual master often says, Krishna is all play and no work. So, in the 10th canto, it is said, Brahman Bhagavata Tasya Bhumna Suchanda Vartina, that the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead freely acts according to His own desires. And His desires are directed towards pleasurable activities with His devotees. And that tendency of enjoyment and finding pleasure within us is also coming from Krishna, because we are part and parcel of Krishna. Interesting to see that Krishna also has desires as us, and His desires are always fulfilled. In fact, in Adi Leela, Prabhupada writes that Krishna has unlimited desires, and Krishna also has the capacity to fulfill those unlimited desires. Whereas in our tiny experience of material existence, we don't have unlimited desires, and surely we don't have the capacity, unlimited capacity, to fulfill those desires. Even if we start to count how many desires we have that we can fulfill if we have that unlimited capacity, sure, okay, we want a nice home, bank balance that can give us whatever we need, a good relationship, a good spouse, and a job which fulfills us. After a point of time, we start falling short, and then we're like, okay, maybe we can go for world peace or a saner society, less environmental havoc, and so on and so forth. So we can't go beyond even 5 or 10 desires. But Krishna, here we see that He has unlimited desires for His enjoyment, and He has the capacity to fulfill all of those unlimited desires. And so here we see how Krishna, Lord Hari, in the original form of the boar, is enjoying, always engaging in festivities. So he engaged in pleasure activities in killing the demon, and then he goes back, returns to his abode to engage in uninterrupted festivities. And those festivities are happening for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we should all feel very fortunate and grateful that we are living in a society where there are always festivities happening, uninterrupted festivities throughout the year. And by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, we all have that opportunity to cooperate and engage in these festivals for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You should feel gratitude for His divine grace, for literally saving our lives, from this material existence. We don't know where, how our life would have been if we didn't meet a devotee or we didn't get a book. We'd just be an ordinary person on the streets, living our life, working, trying to be happy. But Prabhupada has filled our lives with these transcendental festivals, which are uninterrupted, one thing after the other, one month after the other. There are always festivals happening. And again, it is up to us how much we tap into that festivity mood. Prabhupada has given us the chance to become Krishna conscious and perfect our life. However, now it is up to us. We have the ticket back to Godhead, but it is up to us to hold on to that ticket. I remember the first time I read one of Srila Prabhupada's books, Journey of Self-Discovery. The first sentence said, "Are you struggling in this material world?" I'm like, "Yes, I am struggling, definitely." And page after page, everything just resonated with me so much, as if Prabhupada is talking to me directly. And I'm sure many of us had that experience. So although the grand disciples and great grand disciples never had got the opportunity to associate with Prabhupada physically, but through his books, through his instructions, we can all know Prabhupada and be intimately connected with him by reading his books. In fact, even many devotees back in the 60s and 70s never got a chance to have association of Prabhupada or had a minimal association. But because of the potency of Srila Prabhupada's books and his instructions, 50 years later, his movement is still going on and spreading. In fact, Prabhupada said himself that if you want to know me, then read my books. My books are better than physical association. So it is something that we should all meditate, because we have this hung up on physicality that, you know, I'm this body, and if I want to know someone, then I need to have an interaction with them one-on-one physically. But on the spiritual plane, it doesn't work like that. Just by the vani of the spiritual master, one can have a more intimate and a more deeper and intense relationship. In the 10th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, after the Brahma Vimohana Leela, after Lord Brahma is bewildered by Krishna when he stole all Krishna's calves and cowherd boys, when Brahma comes to his senses, he offers this beautiful prayer, which is again very beautiful and something to meditate on. Tatte anukampam susumikshamano bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam hridvag bapur bhir vidadhan namaste jive to yo mukti padesa daya bhak. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. And in the purport, Prabhupada writes that all we have to do is just stay alive in Krishna consciousness. Just stay in the society of the devotees, practice Krishna consciousness, practice the regulative principles, and perfection will surely come to us. Just like an unripe mango, the mango has to do is just sit in the sun, and eventually the mango will become ripe and sweet. Similarly, all we have to do is be in the association of devotees. No matter what happens, never leave the society of devotees and engage in
devotional service, and spiritual perfection will automatically, naturally come to us. The mercy of the Acharyas, the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will automatically come to us. All we have to do is just stay alive in Krishna consciousness. Stop here if anyone has any questions. Yes, Maharaj.
Yeah, you made a lot of nice points, especially near the end of your talk, and made it abundantly clear that by sticking with, by staying with, by focusing on Krishna consciousness as often as possible, actually all the time if possible, that is the way to stay Krishna conscious and continue to build Krishna conscious. So I thank you. It doesn't hurt to hear that over and over again, because we can all forget about it due to the abundance of distractions which can take us away. I just wanted to make one other point, and that was all the desires that you were speaking of, that Krishna can have infinite or innumerable desires, these are not ordinary what we call like material desires. Desires, you know, for ice cream, or desires for a bicycle, or desire anything that Krishna desires, because it's coming from a totally, completely transcendental person, the desire is also transcendental. And if Krishna wills to have a bicycle, it will be a transcendental bicycle, and if he gives it to you, you might start flying up into the sky. It's not ordinary, because he's not ordinary. So the important point is, and that's the point that you're making over and over again, is that Krishna is not like us. He may appear to be like us, but he's infinitely higher, greater, bigger, grander, and more important than us. And if we keep this in mind, then the differentiation between our limitedness and Krishna's unlimitedness will be obvious to us, and we in turn will become greater and higher and bigger and better by his grace, because we're acting as he wants us to act.
Thank you, Maharaj. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Prabhu, for the wonderful class. You know, a couple of days ago, Bhakta Kirman took me to one of the university. It's called the University of the Worst. You know, on the way to that university, I was, you know, sharing with Kirman that, you know, Srila Prabhupada is really, really very great. He's really our savior, you know, because he made us understand that this material world is just like a big prison house. Because whoever comes to this material world, you know, he has to suffer from old age, disease, and ultimately death. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada, he, you know, really showed us the way how we can, you know, escape, you know, from this, you know, big prison house, you know, by the practice of this, you know, Krishna consciousness, you know, by build up, you know, good relationship with the Supreme Lord Krishna, you see. So, Srila Prabhupada is really, really our, you know, savior, you know. Yeah, I just want to, you know, share this, you know, realization, you know. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu. Yeah. Rabindranath Prabhu.
You were mentioning about how the living entity can't fulfill all his desires or like that. And you were saying that the living entity doesn't have unlimited desires. You know where that's stated?
Yes, it is stated in, let's see. In the Adi Leela, 9th chapter, text 38, Prabhupada writes in the purport,
how God is unlimited and His desires are also unlimited. Mm-hmm. And not just that, but Krishna has the capacity to fulfill all His unlimited desires. And He has that unlimited capacity because of His different energies, Ladini Shakti, the Chit Shakti, and so on and so forth. So, Krishna is not personally orchestrating His pastimes, but everything is being done for Him. All Krishna has to do is desire, and everything gets manifested.
Yeah, I understand that, but you mentioned how the living entity does not have unlimited desires itself.
Yes, because we are tiny part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is the infinite, and we are infinitesimal. Krishna has unlimited desires, and our desires are very limited. We might have unlimited desires, but we are doing the same thing in different form, in different planet, in different bodies. But the crux or the essence is the same. So even if we sit down and start to think how many desires we have, we can write down 10, 20, 50, 100 desires, but eventually we'll be like, okay, yeah, I'm satisfied. But we cannot match our desire propensity with Krishna. Krishna can have unlimited desires, but our desires will fall short in comparison to Krishna's desires. Okay, we'll stop there. Shilabhupad ki jai.